Look at your man. Now back to me. Now back at your man. Now back to me.
On this week's issue of the Beer Coasters podcast, we've got some old beers with some spice in them. Beers from Stone, Midnight Sun, Widmer Brothers, and Dr. Fritz Brehm. Let's crack it. This beer's ginormous.
Yeah, I think this is going to creep up on me.
Blah, 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 I want my beer, damn it!
Beer Coaster Podcast. It's for your learning.
Well, hello there. Welcome to the Beer Coasters Podcast, a weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you the best and worst in mostly American craft beer from coast to coast and every once in a while in between. I'm your host this week. I'm Mike from Boston, and with me this week is...
Crazy Dave from Temecula, California.
And Toby in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Welcome back, guys. Welcome back to another episode of Beer Coasters.
Yeah, video number two.
Video edition. Woo!
Podcast number 198, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've done almost 200 coming up pretty soon.
Ooh, wow. Big 2-0. Oh.
This theme this week is Old Spice. That's right. We got some old beers with some spices in it. Yeah. Look at me.
I got something.
Now look at your beer. Now look back at me. So exactly. For our fermentation conversation and what we're going to do on the video here, we're going to drink some Stone Vertical Epic 12-12-12. It is the final of their Vertical Epic series. And we just happened to... Yes, I will show my bottle too. Here we go.
Vertical Epic Neus.
Yes. So we do have... We're going to drink this. We're going to talk about it because that's what we do here on the show. But we have some other beers. And Toby,
right.
What are you going to be drinking?
My beer, my local beer this week, I will be drinking the Widmer Brothers SXNW or South by Northwest.
Cool. How about you?
Beer in a box.
Crazy Dave.
That's kind of nautical. I'm actually drinking the Midnight Sun Brewing.
So nautical.
So I'm drinking the Midnight Sun Brewing Company's T-R-E-A-T, which is their Imperial Chocolate Pumpkin Porter.
Some people say treat. Yeah.
No, it's T,
I know,
period.
T, period, R, period, E. I know how it works.
It's a beer.
And I didn't go local this week. I'm actually going to be drinking Dr. Fritz Brehm's 13th Century Groot Beer. It is herb spice beer from Germany. So, should be interesting.
So check the rest of the show for those beers.
Yeah, you got to listen to the whole podcast. Can't watch the video.
Yeah.
I
mean,
right.
So. But
enjoy this.
You know what you can watch us drink is this next beer right now, the Stone. So why don't we get into it?
This is a fermentation conversation. Yeah.
So we're drinking the Stone Vertical Epic 12-12-12. This is from Stone Brewing Company out of Escondido, California. They've been brewing since 1996. Their website is www.stonebrew.com. And the style is a Belgian strong dark. Cracked it. The ABV on this beer is a 9%, and the IBUs are 50.
Well, it looks like they're using Simcoe hops, Tettnang, and Willamette hops, and another Belgian beer.
Dave loves the Belgian beers.
It looks like they got some cinnamon, allspice, nutmeg, clove, orange peel, and what are rose hips? Like, are they like the from the roses? Or
yeah, they're
what?
Not like the sides of the roses, Dave. No.
Right.
Damn, I was getting all excited.
When I was a kid, I used to get vitamin C, like vitamin C with rose hips in them.
I had the little Flintstone vitamin thingies.
Yeah.
You know.
Not quite the same.
I know a Filipino
so
girl named Rose.
This beer is dark.
Yes. You got no highlights.
Two black fingers.
Black all the way through. I got one solid human finger of head there.
Big, fluffy, light brown head.
On the nose.
You know, I can smell banana, and it's like just sitting on the table here.
Yeah, there's some banana.
I didn't expect that at all.
And cinnamon.
A lot of clove.
Clove, yeah.
There's all kinds of, like, kind of wintry spices, but with the banana, cinnamon-y. Too.
But I didn't expect the banana to be so ba-bam.
Well, when you get those Belgian yeasts.
Yeah, usually it's more subtle. I mean, the minute I opened it, I smelled it. It was like I'm sitting in a, I don't know, the plantation thing or whatever.
Plantation?
There's even some, like, a mustiness, too.
There is, kind of a funky, but man, it's like soaked in spices, though, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, you got cinnamon and clove and...
Chocolate.
It's like you're walking down that aisle of the supermarket.
Maybe even like kind of a sweeter kind of orange.
Yeah, totally. Exactly, Crazy Dave. It's like you're walking through the international spices aisle in the grocery store.
Dude, yeah, I was watching
orange now.
I saw a thing on the internet, and they showed like this. It was like a grocery store aisle, and it had all the bags of Doritos and stuff. And then the sign that said what it was, it said Hispanic food.
Yeah.
Doritos.
I'm like, really, Doritos?
Nice.
Like, I can understand like if it was like chicharrones or something, but
hey, Doritos, you know.
Doritos, yeah.
Nacho cheese
flavor. Nacho cheese flavor. Cheeps. All right. I'm gonna drink some.
I gotta
of this.
Let's take a sip.
That's pretty spicy.
That's about 20 different flavors all in a row.
There's lots of spice.
Bam, bam, bam.
You get like the hot, some sort of like hot spice in the back of the throat.
That's the cinnamon, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah, you get cinnamon and maybe cinnamon, even a little bit of ginger. And some big time roastiness in there, too.
Yeah, totally roasty.
Really dry finish with that kind of espresso coffee roast.
This dryness. Is like a... big time kind of Christmas ale.
It is.
You know?
This is a pumpkin pie turkey dinner kind of a thing. I'm kind of bummed that I waited this long. I haven't had this yet. I mean, I know, Toby, I think you have, right? Yeah. I got it when it came out for the 12-12-12, but I didn't drink it. Like, I've been waiting to do my own little vertical epic tasty thing that I'm going to do sometime.
All of the beers, if our viewers or listeners aren't familiar with the vertical epic, every year since 2002, they put out one on that day, 222, 333, and so on. And they were all meant to age until December 12th of 2012 would be the time when you were supposed to crack them open.
And all of them should be in kind of peak aging.
Right, and you do a vertical tasting of all of them. So there was a lot of places around the country that did stone vertical tastings on 12-12. And I went to one of them here in Vegas at Aces and Ales.
Plug!
And going through, yes... going through all of the years back to 03, we actually didn't get to try 222, but they all were okay. And then getting to the 12-12-12, I was like, now this is a beer that should age.
Wait. Weren't you going to do a vertical tasting show?
I don't know. Have we talked about doing that before? I don't know. Because we couldn't come up with all those different ones.
No, I thought
we had
Toby,
a few of them, but...
No, but I thought Toby and Gina were going to do like a burp, 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 like a little segment.
Oh, no, we do. We're doing one of the Anchor Christmas. We have 3 years of the Anchor Christmas, which will be coming soon.
I thought you were doing a spoiler, and I was like, damn, Toby.
No. But of all the beers that I tried throughout the series, none of them really felt like they were aging well. But this one I can see in a year or two or maybe three... aging nicely because it's got those big bold roasty flavors, and I mean, it's only 9%, but still,
you know what's strange about it? It's not very Belgian-y.
Yeah, once you
I think you got a little bit of like when you mentioned the bananas on the nose,
but
that's probably that Belgian yeastiness coming through. But it's so roasty. It to me, it's more like I would say it's kind of like a Belgian stout. You know, because once you get in the real kind of darker, roastier malts, you don't get that same kind of Belgian yeastiness that you would with some of the.
It does does have a funkiness, but it's not like an over the top like boom, I'm a Belgian bitch.
Right.
Yeah, because that's what Belgians sound like.
Yeah.
I've never been to Belgium.
Well, I can guarantee you they don't say, boom, I'm a Belgian bitch.
Unless they're Jean-Claude Van Damme. Then they do. So food pairing. Crazy Dave already gave his turkey dinner, right? Didn't you? No?
I mean, that's just what it reminds me of.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it would it'd probably go great with was a pumpkin pie. I don't know. I ain't never had no pumpkin pie. How are you going to ask me a question like that?
I think pumpkin pie this would be good with, even though there is a lot of pumpkin pie in this. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe, so maybe squirt some whipped cream on top.
Yeah, just put the whipped cream on top. Just wait a minute.
It's not a bad idea.
Crazy Dave instant pairing. Hold on.
Oh, no.
We don't have time for this, Crazy Dave.
For this. This is YouTube. We're live, damn it. Look, there's no Crazy Dave.
Right. He's gone.
I don't know what I would pair. I mean, it's a tough one with me. I mean, part of me wants some kind of pudding. Or even like a custard or something. He's actually going to do it.
Yes.
Nope. Ready whip.
He's got
whip
the ready
plug.
Whip.
I hope they're paying us for that.
He's putting the whipped cream on his beer. Awesome.
All right.
All right, Dave.
I don't even know what can we call that?
Crazy Dave's live pairings, or it's the fact that when you put whipped cream on a 12-12-12, what would you call it?
I don't know, blasphemy?
That's actually not bad.
I knew it.
Well, that's what I was thinking to do kind of like a rice pudding. You know, if you had like rice pudding with some cinnamon or raisins, that kind of thing would kind of, you know, lend itself. The kind of something creamy and vanilla will bring out all kinds of the spices and roastiness of this beer.
Right. It does.
I'm thinking even like a cheesecake or something like that would be nice.
This works. There's nothing wrong with this. I mean, you got a dessert right here.
Well, I think that's debatable if there's anything wrong with that, but I mean,
what's wrong with it?
You just put whipped cream in your beer.
Well, they did. They put ice cream in their beer and make beer float. And okay, people are like, this is the best thing in the world.
That's different. All right, the beer milkshake is completely different than throwing whipped cream in your glass.
Do you put whipped cream on your hot chocolate? That's a trick. You put it on that.
This is not up for discussion.
What, are you pissed at me because I put whipped cream on my beer?
All right. That's
let's get
it
some
for
ratings.
Our fermentation conversation, folks.
All right, let's get some ratings here. Untapped has the vertical
I didn't
epic 12-12-12 at a 3.89 out of 11,576 ratings.
Wow.
Yeah.
Beer Advocate users rate this an 89, which is good. And the Brothers Ahlstrom rate this a 95, which is world class.
It is pretty world class.
You know, out of the whole vertical epic, I was a big fan of the 888 when it was out. And I know a lot of people didn't like it. I really liked it.
Do you remember
what style
that was? But
then going back and trying it, it's a Belgian something. I thought that it was a Belgian IPA, but reading the label now, it doesn't say anything about a Belgian IPA. It's just like a Belgian golden whatever. But I remember at the time I really liked it, but it didn't age well.
What
so
was
now
the
I'm
10?
Like 10 was I think a dark something, dark Belgian also.
The 999 was like a porter, I remember that.
So far this is my favorite of the entire series is the 12-12-12.
You know what
spoiler?
I got some notes I need to add.
YouTube
about
is the place for spoilers. We've mentioned it before.
Yes. All right, guys. Let's wrap this up. I think we're running out of time.
If you want to listen to the rest of the show, go to beercoasterspodcast.com, and it will be out on Friday.
Friday.
And you'll be able to listen to our other segments, which you know consist of some hop topics and some more beer and a little bit of backwash from our listeners. So check us out.
And we'll be back.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Ending broadcast.
Aces and Ales, premium craft beer bar in Las Vegas, Nevada, with happy hour Monday through Friday, 4 to 7 p.m. with a wide variety of hard-to-find craft beer on draft and bottle. Special tappings every month. Don't forget to stop by www.beercoasterspodcast.com, click on the Aces and Ales logo, and print out your free draft coupon. That's right, Aces and Ales, 3740 South Nellis Boulevard, Eastside, Las Vegas, Nevada. All killer, no filler.
Beer drinkers of the world, it's now time to check the headlines of the Beer Coasters Daily.
That's right, folks. It's time for our Hop Topics. And we usually get our Hop Topics from the Beer Coasters Daily, which is if you go to the website, go to www.beercoasterspodcast.com and you click on the Brews paper, it goes to Beer Coasters Daily. That's usually where we get our Hop Topics for the week. And this one is from there. And Toby is going to let us know what it's all about.
All right. This one comes from the Huffington Post in their menuisms section.
Huff Post Taste?
Yeah. Huff Post Taste. That's kind of like Puff Puff Give.
Or Huff Post Taste.
Huff Post Taste. Anyway. So this is called
Huff Paste Toast.
Beer myths that won't go away. And the thing I like about this article is it's great for the not so avid craft beer drinker, and it's a good way to take those myths and kind of tell you, hey, these are actually myths, they don't really work, so all the stuff you've been learning over the years or hearing is wrong.
A quick thing before we dive into this story, I just want to mention that I, from time to time, I mean, you know, we drink lots of different craft beers on the show, and I like to have people taste what I'm drinking, and I usually try to even there'll be certain people say, oh no, I don't like beer, or I don't like that kind of beer. I'll have them taste it, and
they're racist.
More than one occasion, I've heard that, oh, the beer that I try, that you make me try, doesn't taste like beer. And I always tell them, it does taste like beer. It tastes like good beer. It doesn't taste like the corn water stuff that you're used to, that you didn't like, or that you're used to drinking, in some cases. Yeah. So I want to put it out. That I think is one thing that's missing from this story, which we'll get into, is there is a beer for everyone out there. Whether you're a wine drinker or a whiskey drinker or whatever, there's a beer style out there for you. Now, you could be like us where you like lots of different styles, but...
And there's definitely styles that are not for people.
That's right. True. But there is a style for you out there. If you're, say, you like a particular kind of wine, then...
So if you're like a short, fat, ugly guy that just cannot talk to chicks, like, there's still a girl out there for him?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's the same right. It's the same math. Anyway,
you will get laid eventually, dude.
There's
just
so many
just
people that say, oh, well, this beer, it doesn't taste like beer. Yes, it does. It tastes like good beer. And beer tastes like all different things. You have beer that tastes like wine, beer that tastes like cider, beer that tastes like...
ass!
That's true. You have beer that tastes like ass. You have beer that tastes like
or
earth.
Dead hookers and dumpsters.
You have beer that tastes like dead hookers and dumpsters. You have beer that tastes like coffee and chocolate and...
And pumpkin pie!
And pumpkin pie. So, anyway.
I ain't never had no pumpkin pie. How am I supposed to know what pumpkin pie tastes like? How are you going to ask a question like that?
All right.
Tastes like pumpkin
pie. So now,
after
my rant, we're going to get back into our Hop Topics story here. So, Toby, go ahead. Or Dave. It's up to you.
So the first myth is you can judge a beer by its color. Actually, I think it's supposed to say you can't judge a beer by its color.
No, because it's a myth.
You can.
Oh, right.
That so you
can judge.
If it's going to be dark, it's going to be rancid or
heavy or liquid bread or it has more calories or, you know, people say, oh, I don't like those dark beers. They're so heavy and whatever.
Not true.
like Guinness. I know that
Guinness floats on other beer. How can it be heavy?
Seriously, that's a good point, Dave. Thank you. People, it's so funny when people. That's the one thing is Guinness. People always say Guinness because that's the most widely used dark beer probably in the world. So anybody who's a beer drinker who drinks Bud Light and whatever 40s of whatever, if they've ever had a dark beer, it was Guinness, guaranteed, hands down. If you've had a dark beer, it's probably Guinness. And they always say, "Oh, I don't drink Guinness. It's too heavy. It's too many calories and whatever." No, actually. There's less calories in a pint.
Calories,
yes,
right?
There's less calories in a pint of Guinness than there is in like Coors or Corona, beers like that. Mm. And for it to be heavy, it's so funny because when I drink Guinness, it's so smooth and drinkable and light.
Yeah, I could. You know Guinness what it is? One of those you could drink all night long and
you
feel
can chug
fine.
It.
You know what it is? Is I think too many people drink Guinness cold. And I think that's what turns them off to it.
Well, plus, when people do Irish car bombs, they're like pounding Guinness.
There might be some truth to that, because I know if you just kind of get that cold metallic-y taste, and it needs to kind of get a little bit warmer for all those flavors to come out, like the coffee.
That's
so you got to be.
It's funny, in Ireland, they actually have two different versions of Guinness. And one of them is the regular Guinness, and then they have the ice cold Guinness. It's probably for the Americans that come over there, because they actually advertise it on the back, on the right there on the handle behind the
like
tap
ice
handle.
Cold Guinness.
It says ice cold Guinness, or it says like Guinness cold, or something like that.
Actually, this is funny. That leads us on to the next myth: is that warm beer is bad beer.
Yeah. That's the thing too, and you know.
Well, if you're going to let you, if you're going to let your
a relative term,
right?
You know, because I personally don't think that beer should be drank warm. I think that there's a proper temperature, just like anything else. Like when you're making coffee, that water has to be at a certain temperature to extract what it needs from the beans to make a proper cup of coffee. Well, beer has to be at the right temperature to get the flavor profiles that the brewer intended. If it's too cold, you're going to be missing a lot of stuff. If it's too warm, right, you're going to be missing a lot of stuff. Same thing with wine. Dave, you know that. If the wine's not at the right temperature, it can completely throw off everything about it.
Yeah. All the wonderfulness stuff of it just can be just destroyed. It's the same thing with beer. Like, like the stouts and porters that I like to drink so much are definitely better at a warmer temperature than the lagers or the IPAs. You know, those, you know, you could serve them ice cold. I even been to a restaurant where they poured a Corona into a frosty mug, and it was so cold that it started, like, crystallizing at the top.
Yeah, you get little ice chunks floating in your beer.
See, now, to me, though, I mean, stuff like that with, you know, Coronas.
Well, with Corona, and some totally acceptable.
You want that kind of ice cold.
Yeah.
Just like there's some wines that you want ice cold because, you know, it masks some of the bad flavors as well as the good flavors.
So, yeah, it just depends what you're drinking. But, yeah, you're right, though, man. That's definitely warm beer is not bad beer. But if you're storing it, you know, you probably better store it at a cooler temperature.
Oh, well, yeah.
The last myth is that beer ads tell us something useful. And I think
they tell me who the hottest chick is right about now.
That's the thing, you know. The big thing about this is what I find funny too is because I think we've even talked about it on the show is Miller claiming that they're triple hop brewed when, you know, all of us that know, you know, anything about beer of any beer really, they're usually using, you know, three hops. You know,
right? Three hop additions
and quite a few beers. You know, I mean, I know you get your single hop beers and whatnot, but there's so many, you know, breweries that use three hops and or more. So that it's just
one
a
that
big
we had
joke.
That like 15. Well,
they're talking about the hop additions. You know, you have three hop additions when you brew beer. You have, you know, you have your long boil
hops,
bittering hops, and then you have your last ones that you throw in, and that's just kind of how you brew beer. That's just a normal
brewing
practice.
Then you have your dry hops and then your tap hops.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Even if it was a single hop beer, you still would probably do three hop additions, you know, of that one. Just right. Funny when they say triple hop brewed. That's one of the things I know I've talked about this on the show before, and I've talked about this with Gina about.
You mean if I drink a Coors Light, like this big silver steam locomotive is not going to come blasting through my house? Right.
I just wonder when they're doing these ads about triple hops brewed, who is their target audience? Are they trying to get that person who knows just enough about craft beer and hops that that's a good thing, that they are going to go back to Miller? Or
no, maybe they're just shooting themselves in the foot. And they're trying to like put some beer knowledge out to these people, thinking that, right. Hey, you know, we're kind of like those craft brew guys.
Right.
You know, we still do stuff. You know, and then maybe these guys.
I mean, that's all marketing companies trying to come up with taglines and you know, stuff to get things out there. But the thing about me, and I think we've even done a hop topic like way back about beer ads are insulting. People's intelligence, you know, because. And
I don't know, man. A lot of people were pretty moved by that.
It's just in advertising, whether it's, you know, Doritos we talked about earlier in the show, and it's like it totally plays to like this person is the stupidest person that could possibly be here on the planet, and it's going to be compelled to just blindly follow whatever you got going on. And
right,
did you watch the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
No.
What did you think about that Clydesdale ad?
No, I'm not. I mean, they're brilliant.
I thought that was a cool ad.
They're brilliant marketers. But as far as an ad that ever describes the quality of their beer, they can't. They'll fail miserably. You know, because it's.
Wait. I actually, when I went on vacation one time, I was standing around at a pool bar. Like I was in a pool, like drinking like whatever, you know, alcohol they had. And I think it was Dos Equis on tap or something. And, I ended up making friends with cause we were there for the whole week. We're at this resort, you know, so you end up making friends over the week that you're there. One of the guys that we ended up making friends with was this old guy that wore a Corvette hat that had like, you know, a sweat stain on it. Cause he's worn that hat for like 20 years or something. Yeah. But turns out, you know what he did? He was actually a brewer for Anheuser-Busch. You know, and he sat and he talked to me for about a half hour talking about the flavors of Budweiser.
Really?
And just going on and on and on. I'm like, and I sat there. Like, I wasn't nearly into craft beer then as I am now. This was back in 2004 or 5.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, craft beer was definitely around. You know, I was drinking Stone back then and I was – you know, trying different, you know, kinds of beers and stuff. And, but I knew that, like really, like, how do you get those flavors? Like, I don't know how you can talk about the complexity of Budweiser. I mean,
right.
But he believed it. I mean, he was
I'm
really
sure he
into
did.
It.
I have no doubt that he believed it. But I just have a hard time believing that, you know, when a brewery purposely takes stuff like corn and rice to kind of thin out their beer to get more beer out of it. I just find it hard to believe that they're, well, you know, concerned about using
but you
quality
know, somebody,
ingredients.
Somebody likes that taste, and they're so
well. No. Honestly, see, that's the thing. It's not like somebody likes that
if
taste.
People are not going to drink it because they are told that they should like it.
No.
If they don't like it, they're not going to drink it.
You're right, but it's not that someone the whole purpose of that is to thin it out and make the flavor
make it more profitable
profile so small that it appeals to a mass quantity of people, you know.
Well, maybe
the Wonder Bread mentality,
but maybe it appeals to the people that have a very discerning palate.
I doubt it.
The people that can really pick it out and tell it.
Maybe hey, you know, Miller and Coors and those guys still win awards at GABF, so.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some politics involved in that, but I'm not going to get into that.
Well, but anyways, you guys can check out the whole article. There's more to it than what we talked about. Yeah. And probably a whole bunch
of
other stuff
that
we never
know. The Beer Coasters podcast brought to you by AB InBev.
Yeah.
They're still not sending me beer yet. When the hell am I supposed to get it?
Yeah.
Go to beercoasterspodcast.com, click on the Hop Topics link. That'll take you to this article. And I want to give a shout out to John Vereve, the guy who wrote this. His website is Beers of Tomorrow. And
I like that. I like that name.
He's the
Beers of Tomorrow.
Octopus Hat. Nice. On Twitter.
I think it's Octopus Chat or Octopus.
No, it's
Octopus Chat.
Octopus Hat.
Oh, Octopus Hat.
Push
Hat. Oh, yeah, okay.
Octopus Hat. He's a man of many talents. So it's at Octopus Hat.
All right.
Yes.
But not the at.
To each his own.
See you next week. Cheers.
We'll be back right after this.
Gemini Lounge. A chill new cocktail bar in Portland, Oregon. A gourmet bar food haven with creative cocktails, happy hour specials, drink specials, and great local beers on tap. Don't forget to go to beercoasterspodcast.com, click on the Gemini Lounge logo, and print out your free draft beer voucher. Gemini Lounge is committed to supporting local and eco-friendly options. Local handmade and vintage art on the walls, and even 75% of the building materials were purchased from locally owned businesses. Located at 6526 Southeast Foster Road, Portland, Oregon. Great tunes, good vibes, it's Gemini Lounge.
What's up? This is Crazy Dave from Temecula, California, and this week I am drinking the Midnight Sun Brewing Company's Treat, or
Treat,
T-R-E-A-T.
As in trick or...
Trick or treat!
Now I know, now I'm understanding the title of the show being Old Spice, because we've done some spiced beers, but we've done some old beers, like 12-12-12, which is past. We got pumpkin beers, which is past.
Beer. Yeah. Past. So it's old and it's spicy.
Yes, exactly.
Apparently this it's formerly simply known as the Imperial Chocolate Pumpkin Porter that they called Treat, which is the Royal Eccentric Ale Treatment. So, I don't know. But, anyhow, guys are out of
ale treatment, I think could be a good. Maybe I shouldn't say that.
Yeah. Ale treatment,
kind of.
I get ale treatment once a week.
Yeah, me too.
You know there was called The Treatment. Did you ever watch that or listen to that? I think it was a podcast. The Treatment with was it Elvis Mitchell? Maybe I can't remember.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I want to talk about my beer.
Sorry. Got off topic.
So these guys were out of Anchorage.
About beer. They ain't paying attention.
Yeah, shut up, Mike. Right. This is these guys are out of Anchorage, Alaska.
New brewery.
And the spices that they added to this.
All kinds of pumpkins in Alaska.
Yeah, I know, huh? Well, everything's got to get in by barge there, you know. This is Anchorage, so they can drive stuff in. But it's got cocoa nibs, pumpkin.
You don't grow nothing up there.
They just call Sarah Palin and tell her to order it on Amazon.
Well, you could probably shoot something and put it in there too, I guess. You know. Everyone in Alaska's walks around with a gun.
So there's
too,
moose
apparently.
In this beer as well.
Well, there's that Moose-Rule beer.
Yeah.
From Anderson Valley, right?
No, that's Big Sky Brewing.
Oh, Big Sky, yeah.
Big Sky, yeah.
Moose-Rule.
Anyhow, they got pumpkin, cocoa nibs, cloves, cinnamon, and nutmeg. They've also won a gold medal at the GABF in 2007 with this beer. So I think it's time for me to bust this open and check it out. Oh, man. I got my trusty Coors Light glass. It's pouring out dark.
Mm.
The variety of corn in the Coors Light is just unmistakably corny.
So it pours like a Coke. The head's like a Coke. The carbonation is totally like a Coke. There's bubbles all up and down the glass.
It's Coke-ish.
Coke-ish.
Coke-alicious.
Did I tell you guys that the ABV on this is 7.8? The IBUs are 30?
No, you didn't care. But you just did.
This is nowhere near as aromatic as the 12-12-12 that we just tried.
Yeah, that's a tough act to follow.
Yeah, there's not much on the nose. I'm not even getting really any of the spices. So I'm just gonna take a sip here and see what I got.
Taking a sip, yeah.
Delicious.
It's got actually a Coke-like flavor to it, believe it or not. It's got a sweetness to it. I'm not getting that at all. And all these spices are really subdued in this. Probably I should have had this beer before the Vertical Epic. But
it's
it
so
does
funny
have a
because,
roast.
You know, the words subdued and Imperial Chocolate Pumpkin Porter just don't seem like they go together. They don't go hand in hand.
I mean, it's not a super strong beer. I mean, it's only 7.8. It's not imperially, and it's definitely a porter. It's got the thinness about it, and you know, there are flavors there. It's just they're not in your face, you know. So, is it really an imperial porter? I would probably just classify it as a regular porter. That's my opinion. I don't see what really makes it imperially, but.
Yeah, I don't think of around the 7-ish percent. I don't think of Imperial, but I don't really know what the.
But I am getting all
the standards. If there's actually standards of what makes something Imperial as opposed to not, so.
It does have a smokiness to it. It's a chocolatey, smoky roast that you get late in the flavor of this. It's an interesting woodiness on the end. I like that. You know where the pumpkin does come in? It has almost a squashiness to it. You know how squashes have that kind of aftertaste to them?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what this is. You know, it has that aftertaste that it leaves. It's not like not like pumpkin bam in your face, you know. It is there.
Sure.
But it definitely has that squashiness to it. So that's what's coming through. There's a lot of chocolate that I get on this too. And then that smokiness on the end is just kind of a neat thing. There's definitely layers and flavors that develop now that I'm kind of drinking this beer. I probably should have taken this out of the fridge a little earlier. It is a bit cold, so I'll probably have a few more things to say about it in my last call. But the Beer Advocate users did come in with this at a 92, and Untappd.
Nothing from the bros.
Yeah, nothing from the bros. But Untappd is a 3.84 out of 1,196 ratings. So, you know, not too shabby. I mean, these are some pretty good ratings. I will definitely have more to comment about this beer when it gets up to temperature. But, you know, these guys are MidnightSunBrewing.com. They're out of Anchorage, Alaska, and this was their treat, Imperial Chocolate Pumpkin Porter.
Powder.
Oh, pairings. Ah.
Yeah, we don't pair it with. Pairings.
You know, I'm not a smoker, but I bet this would probably go good with some pipe tobacco or a cigar.
Yeah, I've paired beers with a cigar before, and I'm not a big, you know, I don't smoke. I mean, I've had a cigar on a few occasions in my life, but
just
some
because
beers
of that
just
smokiness
say, like,
that
man, I just feel like dipping a cigar in this beer, you know?
Yeah. And,
yeah.
I don't know what it's something about this beer that just reminds me of walking into a tobacco shop. Yeah. You know, that's what I got. So food pairing, maybe I'll come up with a food pairing later too, but that's my first thoughts.
We'll be back right after this.
You know, drinking beer and being social is a big part of what we do here at the Beer Coasters Podcast. So we'd invite you to join us at any number of our internet social websites. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, Untappd, Google+, and even Pinterest. That's right. Cheers.
And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
Like, I don't know why. Why do I hang out with Dave? Why?
Okay, so Dave will have words after the show. So this is... I've got another beer in a box. I know that I'm the only guy on the show that does beer in a box, I think, ever.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever done a beer in a box.
Wait, step one?
This is...
Open the box.
This is... I'm going back to Widmer Brothers and their limited edition series. This is number 7. This is the SXNW, or South by Northwest.
How much was that beer?
I don't know. Probably $15 to $20.
See, I'm getting pissed because like my beers tonight were like $15. Well, one of them was $15, and I would get a box.
So I removed it for the people
that can't see. He just takes the box and literally throws it over his shoulder and gets on the ground behind.
So, Widmer Brothers
is kind of
from
a waste of packaging, in my opinion.
At least it's recyclable.
Makes it fancy.
Yes, it's very fancy.
It's easier to spot on the shelf, that's for sure.
Why don't they just put a little tap on the bottom of the box so you can just have beer in a box, like, you know, like just like the wine.
Yeah. And it's in a little bag inside, and you just have a little spigot.
Yeah.
Okay. Widmer Brothers, they're from Portland, Oregon. They've been brewing since 1984. The style of this beer is an American strong ale. Comes in at 9.3% ABV, 40 IBUs. Cracking it.
This got peppers in it?
Yeah, it's from what it sounds like, it's a chocolate chili beer.
I don't know. He threw the box.
Like a
boy? He be throwing the box.
Toby doesn't want nothing to do with the box.
Some...
God. All right, so the ingredients, all I could get was the hops are Alchemy hops, and the malts they use are Extra Special Chocolate and Munich, and it's brewed with chilies, chocolate, cinnamon, and toasted pecans. Ooh. So upon pour,
ooh, I just
I've
thought
got
of a cool name for a beer. I'm gonna
a little half a finger
keep
of
it
hen.
To myself.
It's very dark.
For when you start brewing.
Yes, I will. That's one of my resolutions. I will end up doing that this year sometime.
It's a very dark ruby color with some amber highlights.
I knew a ruby and an amber once.
And the
head. What's on the ruby?
You
the
have
head
a ruby?
Is dissipating. Talking about beer here.
Oh,
on the nose. You can kind of get some of that chili in there on the nose. There's some earthiness.
Chili in the nose. Chili and pain. You know, I don't know enough about brewing, but I just don't know what, like, a nut like pecans or pecans, however you want to say it, potato, would lend to a beer besides...
Well, didn't you
the
have
bitterness.
Didn't you have Toby and Gina's walnut? What was that? The walnut.
I don't think
brown?
I have.
Yeah, we had like a walnut brown.
No, and see walnuts. That's a good one. That's for specifically thinking of kind of would lend a bitterness to the beer.
It was very walnutty. I mean, you can tell it was walnut.
And how do you not extract, or how do you get rid of the? Do you roast them to get rid of the oils?
We roasted the crap out of our nuts, like over and over, and then rubbing them with paper towels and newspaper.
It was like an all-day affair, wasn't it? Just
yeah,
preparing the nuts.
Like over and over to heat them up, and then pull off as much oil as we could, and heat it up and pull them off as much oil as we could, just to because all it'll do is, you know, it kills the head is what it, you know, does. But
and I mean, I know that there's things you can kind of help that too.
Right, and then you can increase.
Just because you want some nuts doesn't mean you have to kill the head.
Speaking of nuts, on the I've taken a sip.
I just don't know how rubbing them kills the head. That just doesn't make any sense to me. Anyway, back to the beer.
So there is a nuttiness. I wouldn't go so far as to say pecans, but there is a nuttiness, and there's this. It tastes like a brown ale with I don't really get any of this like a little bit of cinnamon, but there's really no chilies happening.
But do you think maybe some of that heat is there any heat coming from it at all?
Well, but what kind of chilies did they use?
It looks like green chilies.
Okay,
on the picture.
Check this out.
Because a lot of times the green chilies.
Yeah, it looks like on the picture. It looks like green chilies.
Yeah, it looks like a big old green chili. like half the size of the bottle.
If it's a big green chili, those really aren't very strong. I mean, they have like a it's not like a spicy.
Yeah, there is. There's some in there.
It would still have a good, like, peppery heat to it.
Yeah, yeah. It'll have more,
it's more peppery. It's just not in the. There's no chili really in the aftertaste.
No, it's not very spicy. It's not. It's not hot, but it has a chili essence. But when I was just smelling it, it's very biscuity, a little bit nutty, and a little bit cinnamon, almost like a not very cinnamony, but like a cinnamon nut bread. But with the cinnamon backed off just barely, but kind of a nutty bread, because it was very biscuity to me. But when you taste it, it has a little bit of chili flavor, but no heat.
Yeah, very little heat. But there is a little bit of a chili flavor. There's a tiny bit of chocolate in there.
For the fancy ingredients, it's not that exciting.
Well, it's
interesting.
I'm actually happy that it's not...
too big,
over the top,
too crazy, too bold. Right. Yeah,
it's still 9%, I think. Yeah, 9.3. So it's still a pretty big beer.
That'll sneak up on you.
But it's got these good flavors in there without being over the top. It's not like they didn't try to like make it. Maybe these flavors are just kind of sitting in there to where it's not a chili beer. It's not a nut. Beer. It's not a spiced beer. It's more of like they just got all of these and they managed to have them sit pretty well together in there. Because in the aftertaste, you kind of get everything still. You get a little bit of the chili and a little bit of the cinnamon, a little bit of the nuttiness.
And there's cocoa nibs, which totally, now that I read that on the bottle, I can taste it and yeah, it's a nice balance.
Wait, I guess so you mean that you couldn't get them without reading the bottle?
Well, I have a very difficult time putting my tastes and smells into words. Mm-hmm. But then when I see it, I'll be like, oh,
that's
yes.
That's
why like I like looking at a tasting sheet, even though, you know, I've tasted a lot of beers now. But even with that experience, it helps me to see like what I might be tasting or smelling.
See, that's what frustrates me, because Dawn can do that. She can pick out, you know, she hates when I make her smell beers, but she'd be like, apple, pear, tobacco. You know, like, I'm like, how do you really, like, I'm struggling to find like the
that's why
the most
sometimes
pronounced things in
I mean,
there.
That's right. That's one of the reasons why I like the fermentation conversation, is because you have other people trying the same beer, and it's almost like reading it.
With different palates. You get sometimes four or more different palates trying the same
beer.
When
somebody else says, oh, this one totally has, you know, anise in it, then another one goes, yes, I totally get that now.
See,
now that you said that, I can totally get it.
Or it might be that they go, yes, but I would say more of a sassafras, or like something that was similar, but you know what I mean? Like root beer. You know.
Right, going towards the root beer.
That's
tough. Yep, instead of the...
I think my first reaction on this beer was I expected it to be a little bit more of a full mouth feel, because it's complex in flavor, but I don't know, maybe the less full mouth feel makes it a little more drinkable. It's pretty good. I like it.
I think
it
you should
reminds
dress
me...
down the beer and pair it with like a Philly cheesesteak or something.
Philly cheesesteak. I don't know. Something with cheese, definitely. I was going that direction.
That might actually be pretty good.
Or how about like a chile relleno?
Yeah.
What is that?
Go
sorry,
that
pardon
chili.
My East Coast ignorance. What
cheese
is that?
Stuff.
Chile relleno is where you take one of those big ass chilies like she was talking about, and you cut it, pull out all the seeds, cut up some
stuff
cheese.
With cheese.
Yep. Some cheese
and
in
deep
it.
Deep fry it.
Yeah, put some egg stuff on it.
I'm sold. I
that
heard
might
fry
actually
it.
Be pretty
I'm good.
Good. But I think I like the Philly cheesesteak might actually be pretty good with this.
Just because it has any kind of pepper in it, the fact that
it
was brewed
with
it, even if you don't think that you can really pull it out of the beer, I think if you actually had stuff that had peppers and onions and cheese and whatnot, that it would start to kind of come out. You're like,
you
oh
know what
yeah,
I'm,
there's some pepper in this
like,
beer that I didn't know there was there.
I'm not drinking this beer, but you know what I'm thinking? Stuffed peppers.
Right.
You know,
like
stuffed
the green
bell peppers.
Just the bell pepper stuff with the rice and the beef and the pepper.
Right,
yep.
I'm going with, I don't know, like maybe... What are those things called? We get it, Big Dogs, the cheese things. Just like
curds? Cheese curds.
Cheese curds. Yeah.
They're like little mozzarella sticks, but they're balls and they're cheese curds instead. But they're good.
Yeah.
With the breading and the seasoning. That's very nice. Yeah,
something like that, because this has a lot of flavors already, so it's almost like this could be. Not really the dip, but you know what I mean? Like, this is the thing that makes that more interesting or whatever.
Crazy Dave just, you know, throw some whipped cream in his beer. So if you want to dip some cheese curds in your beer, feel free. It's allowed. Apparently it's totally legal.
But whipped cream at least kind of can blend easy with it. Like a deep fried breaded cheese ball.
Cheese ball?
I don't mean literally the dip. Like, I'm not literally trying to dip my.
No, but I see where you're going. They would complement each other well.
Right.
This kind of reminds me of the Coco Mole from New Belgium that they did a while back. But the Coco Mole was way more weird than this.
I was going to say, you are fired. Because the Coco Mole was bordering on, what do you call that? Stuff from England and Australia that tastes like bouillon, but they put it on bread. Oh, like Marmite?
Vegemite.
Yes. Oh, it was bordering on that to me.
Nasty.
It was very like meaty and bouillon-y.
Yeah, it was. It was really way weirder than this. This is way better than that.
But it has somewhat of a sense in there of that. It kind of reminds me of it. So no, anyway.
I can kind of see that.
The manager just puts you on probation.
Yeah, I know. Dun, dun, dun. For ratings, the Beer Advocate users give this an 88, which is good. Nothing from the bros. And
I'm glad you had that ready because I didn't have it up.
The SXNW from Widmer Brothers on Untappd got a 3.76 out of 1,511 ratings.
And that's out of 4?
Out of 5.
Or 5.
3.76 out of 5.
Sorry. I should know that by now, but I don't. Because I don't untap.
This just came out, I guess, in September of 2012. I thought it was older than that, but yeah. Cool.
It's a youngin'.
So there you have it. SXNW from Widmer Brothers, South by Northwest.
You know what the coolest part about your tasting flight is?
What?
Our marital bliss.
The fact that it's over and I get to drink my beer.
WidmerBrothers.com. We'll be back right after this.
Yes.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Beer Coasters podcast. And don't forget to support your local brewery, your local beer pubs, your local beer bars, and your local home brewers, etc. Drink local, because local's fresh. Oh!
Back east, we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
All right, all right, all right. It's time for my tasting flight, folks. This is Mike in Boston, and I'm going to try a Dr. Fritz Brehm 13th century Grut beer.
Who's that?
Fritz Brehm.
Who's that?
I don't know who that is.
Why don't you spell that for me?
Do enough homework. So,
wait, can I ask another question?
Sure.
Maybe this is for the beer jargon guy.
Uh-oh.
What's a Groot beer?
Have we not done that before?
What is a Groot?
I don't know what the hell a Groot
is. I don't think so.
I don't think so because I do not know what a Groot is.
Okay.
Oh, so we would only have done it if Gino.
We will ask the beer jargon guy.
There is that. You shush up. I hear one third of the show every single week.
She's drunk. She's telling people to shush.
And now time for craft beer jargon. For this week's beer jargon, the term is grut. Gruts are ancient ales, beers of yore, the way many beers were brewed throughout the Middle Ages in continental Europe. Gruts are mainly a concoction of herbs, spices, and berries might be used to create an interesting and pleasant aroma and flavor of herbal teas. These ancient ales may be highly intoxicating and an aphrodisiac when consumed in significant quantity. Historically, it has been said to stimulate the mind, create euphoria, and enhance sexual drive. For those interested in learning more, should read A Sacred and Herbal Healing Beers by Stefan Gerard Berner.
And there you have it, folks. This guy knows everything.
Thank you, Beer Jargon Guy.
Thank you so much for clearing that up. And now we know that it's actually, there's a couple names. This one in particular happens to be the German Grut, as the usually the Scottish Gruit, I believe. But it basically just means kind of an herb beer, spiced beer. It's kind of an old, kind of ancient. Well, the Beer Jargon guy just told you all this stuff. Anyway,
so if we were to do
it's just an old spice.
So beer. If we were to do a Groot / Gruet show, would that be okay if we were to have both of them, Scottish Gruet and a regular German Gruet? I believe so, because
it's basically just like the Germans call it the Gruet and the Scottish call it. I mean, right, cool. There's still, so,
that's a language.
There's Belgian
barrier,
stouts,
yo.
There's Irish stouts, there's, you know, I mean, a stout.
So,
you know what I mean?
So what about alert, the from the ale from the farmhouse show. To the ale house? Like,
the farmhouse and saisons are the same, yeah?
Well, no, because they grew it, you know, at the farm, and then they.
Damn!
Gil, created by Dr. Fritz Brehm. Of the Domens Institute, but it's actually brewed by Weinstefan and Domens imported. It's imported by B United International to the U.S.
So what you're telling me is this ain't American?
Oh, it's not American at all.
There ain't nothing American about this brew.
It's very German. Sure. It's very German. I'd give you a website, but, you know, it's kind of useless because you're not really going to get the information that you're looking for. I found that if you go to the Be United International website, then you'll find more of the information of the stuff that they import here to the U.S., and it's probably, you know, more information. The ABV on this beer is 4.6%. I do not have the IBUs. I probably should have done my homework on that. Probably could have dug it up somewhere. But I did do my homework on the ingredients, and you're going to be pretty impressed with all this stuff. So I'm going to crack it and talk about it.
Lots of spices. Lots of old spices.
Lots of herbs and spices, yeah? So for ingredients, listen to this, folks.
What?
Bay leaves. Ginger.
What?
Caraway. Anise. Rosemary.
Hey, what was that last one?
The hell are you making? Like
anise.
A
I say
stew?
Anise. Some people say anise. I say anise.
As long Stay as that potato. Makes you happy.
I say anisette, but I'll say anise. Anyway, rosemary. I don't even know what this other ingredient is. It's
gentian, I believe.
Yeah, I don't even know what it is.
But I don't know what it is.
Maybe it's just an old ass spice.
Ask the Beer Jargon guy what that is too now.
Well, wait, I got
no,
it right here.
That's not a Beer Jargon thing.
No, it's a genus of flowering plants belonging to the gentian family, tribe Gentianae, and monophyletic subtribe Gentianae. With about 400 species, it's considered a large genus. They are notable for the most
Something
large
with genitalia.
Trumpet-shaped I don't care about flowers. The freaking genus and the species. I just want to know what is this? Is this like a plant? Is it a fruit?
Spice.
Is it a vegetable? Is it a freaking mineral?
It's a
Gruet.
It's a Gruet. Other ingredients for this beer, they use wheat, barley malt, and this another thing I've never heard of is pollinated wild hops.
It is used in herbal medicine to treat digestion problems such as loss of appetite, fullness, intestinal gas, diarrhea, gastritis, heartburn, and vomiting. So when you get there completely you f***ed up from drinking this beer, you can just drink more of it and it'll make you better.
Now that is my kind of beer. This is super light.
It's like
and
clear.
You know, guys, from just seeing our beers on camera, how much darker they look on camera than they do, you know, for real. So,
Mike just poured himself a Coors Light.
This is champagne
clear.
It's got that tins of yellow, but it's clear.
I'm not trying to set you up for disaster here, but a beer with that's that light with that many herbs in it,
don't judge a beer by its color.
No, but I'm saying there's no malt. There's no major malt to stand up to it.
Don't judge a beer by its color.
Yeah, I
am judging a beer by only because it has so many spices. What?
So, on the nose, I tell you, when I cracked it, I smelled the rosemary. And bay leaves and ginger and
the other things you just don't know how they smell, so you're good.
Yeah, it has ginger, but I don't know what that smells
like.
Oh, another thing,
You know what this smells like? Ginger ale with some bay leaves.
Well,
and rosemary.
Well, that's
the
thing
is that they do use the ginger root as one of the ingredients in its bitter brews.
It's a root. Gentian is a root?
You can use gentian.
That's what I was waiting for.
It's got a root.
Why can't you just tell me it was a root?
So maybe ginger, I mean, right? Like,
okay. There is a bit of herbally, kind of mentholyptus kind of stuff going on here, too. Every single one of the herbs that they mention, you can smell in this beer. You can pick them out distinctly, each one of them.
Except for
the caraway. I can't quite get that, but maybe there'll be some kind of peppery kind of rye bread flavor in there. I don't know.
Taking a sip, yeah.
Wow. It's like an alcoholic ginger ale.
That's
like a real ginger ale?
You could taste the other spice. You can taste bay leaves and rosemary. I don't know what the hell the gentian stuff's supposed to taste like, but...
Well, but a ginger ale has a bit of a kick, like... plug your ears, Crazy Dave. Like a back of the throat... like hits you in the back of the throat dryness. So maybe it has... You know, maybe it's... is it exhibiting any of that? Because that could be something similar, maybe.
Ginger is the big present in here, but it doesn't kind of, there's no pepperiness on the throat. There's no kind of, you know how ginger can definitely kind of give you that kind of dry, hot, especially really spicy ginger. This is more like a ginger candy because there's some sweetness in here.
Ginger candy.
Have you ever had those ginger candy chews before?
Yeah.
Like you get them at...
Where do you get a ginger candy chew?
You can get them at like Asian markets or even just old school like candy stores.
So you're saying it's a good enough mix, yeah?
I think it
enough malt to hold up for all the spice.
Well, that's the thing, malt wise, I can't tell what's going on because it's so light, it's so effervescent. It's like the carbonation is really.
I was going to say with all those flavors, I think the malt would be masking a lot of that.
Maybe no, you can't. Like that's the thing. You're getting all these flavors,
so
and
light.
Because
that's what
it's
saying.
So light, they probably use very little of the wheat malt and barley malt to kind of make this beer because it would
just obliterate all those other things.
It's kind of hard to explain because all the flavors are there, the aromas, but it's not like I wouldn't say the beer tastes like it's watered down. But as far as malt character, it's so light. There's hardly any there. This doesn't taste like...
You really make me
want to drink
this beer.
Even the maltiness of a Pilsner. You're not even getting that kind of maltiness with this. It's very light. All the herbs are there. It's super carbonated, but it is probably one of...
And a little bit of sweetness, you said.
Yes.
So it really does sound like a very spicy, like hardcore ginger beer.
So this is the champagne of beers, then, for real.
It's the ginger beer.
It really
of
is. It's very kind of champagne-y. It's not.
That being said, there's very specific foods that pair with champagne like beverages that don't pair with anything else.
Yeah,
chocolate covered strawberries.
No, because that could easily be paired with a lot of different things. But there's a few things like oysters. Like people have a difficult time pairing with anything, and so they usually have it with champagne. You know, like, what would you want with this?
It's tough. Well, I mean, you guys know from some just bruschetta? Me doing the show, I'm not a big, you know, shellfish guy. Oh. But
you aren't.
I'm not. I love fish. I'm just not a big shellfish guy. And it's a shame Bostonian. Because I live in like
shellfish capital of the world. I mean,
the shellfish here, is phenomenal as far as quality goes. Why.
Can I ask you a question while you ponder the pairing?
Yes.
So with all the lack of malt character, do you get at least the sweetness that would come along? Like, is there any amount of syrupy?
No,
goes along with all the spice. Or
I
no?
get like a citrusy kind of sweetness, you know, without being kind of that, you know, citrus sour.
But no syrupiness. Just that, nothing. No.
There's nothing that's
that.
Like cloyingly sweet. There's no syrupy because it's so carbonated, and the pepperiness of the ginger, and you get the bay leaves, the rosemary, all that stuff. It's actually a really interesting mix of herbs to not make anything sweet. I think it's a very clever balance, but I guess we'll get more into that you know, in last call. You know, I'm thinking like southern food would be interesting. Like if you had kind of like a hush puppies, you know, like
or even some fried chicken with a biscuit with some honey.
Because here's the thing, I think of like a fried chicken because I think of like celery salt and some of the seasonings that are in like with fried chicken would really lend itself to the beer. It's funny. It's a very, very interesting beer. What were you gonna say, Dave?
Your food pairing with hush puppies, I think, nails it because it's another one of those analogous things to champagne, because that's another thing that you can do with champagne is those hush puppies.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really? That's
funny.
Who knew?
Because it's just something about, like, you know, cornmeal and onions and whatnot.
Cornmeal that's rolled into balls and deep fried?
Yeah. Basically. I mean, you can't go wrong with anything, you know, deep fried. So.
That's right. That's
it's usually as kind of a side fried, dish to, you know, good. Like, you know, fried fish or whatever. You know, fried gator tail or whatever, you know. We're talking about southern cooking.
Some gator bites.
Well, that's what I'm going to pair it with. Some
gator tail.
Gator bites and some hush puppies.
All right, let's get some ratings.
Who would have thought beer the Germans would have brewed a beer for New Orleans?
Right?
Beer Advocate gives the Professor Fritz Brim's 13th century Groot beer an 86 out of 100, which is good. That's the users. And the bros give it a 100.
Wow, which is world class. And they might be on to something. We'll see in last call.
And Untappd gives it a 3.53 out of 5 with 284 ratings.
Getting lemon, which I hadn't mentioned before, but there is kind of a lemony zest kind of permeates the senses too in here.
See you next week.
Isn't that what we're supposed to do? And now we're not seeing you next week yet.
See you next week.
We'll be back right after this. Biatch.
Ferraro Boys says, someone get me 20 red garbage cans, one volleyball, and 20 kegs, and I'll show you how to play an epic game of beer pong.
This piece of backwash comes
all pieces of backwash
the way from
Sweden. Sweden,
yeah,
the Sweden beer geek clan.
That's right. He is from the Swedish beer geek clan. This is malt porter.
What up,
Toby? What does malt porter say this
malt
week?
Malt sent us an email. It says that was not so bad.
Hey, it wasn't great, but it's not so bad.
I mean,
you guys aren't not so bad rating for anything.
You guys aren't that ugly.
He says, I mean, see you guys at YouTube. It's nice to finally see the faces of the coasters that I've been listening to for a couple of years. I'm with Toby when it comes to Green Flash Hophead Red, which means it's good, and Crazy Dave didn't like it. That was me. I think it's a superb beer, says Malt Porter. A 4.5er in my book. Nice. Another great beer style. Style is Goodnight from Oscar Blues. Thanks yet again for another great and in some parts visual podcast. Best regards, Malt.
Cool.
I always wonder, like, do people like have like this picture of what we look like, and then are we totally not what you expect?
I've always had that. Like, if I listen to radio shows or even, you know, so podcasts far. And finally see the faces, they're never ever what I pictured them to be.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm sure my face was nothing like what they thought.
They were all low.
When they heard my voice. Like, holy shit. Good thing they do radio.
No, but we also got another backwash from Malt Porter, too, I guess, from Untapped.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
This is an Untapped comment.
Last episode, exclamation, evil twin equals Jeppy Borg beer show. Mikkel Borg beer show twin brother, who is Mikkeller. Cheers.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
That Mikkeller had a twin brother, and that was very interesting to know.
That's
that the
evil
twin,
brewing is.
Yeah.
So Mikkeller and evil twin are brothers.
Because
Well, now you know where the evil twin name comes from, and that's because it's Mikkeller's twin, and that I never knew that. That's very, very cool little piece of beer trivia there.
That is one mind-blowing thing about this backwash. The other mind-blowing thing is that Malt Porter commented on one of our check-ins from either last week's show or the week before. So he commented on a check-in after the show was out from a check-in from a few days earlier.
What?
And he said this because...
I kind of feel some time travel stuff going on here.
It's really weird.
Is there any butterfly affecting this or what?
Yeah, it's totally crazy.
21 gigawatts.
It's like he was listening to the show while he was on Untapped, and he found one of our old check-ins, and he commented while he was listening. It's the only thing I can think of, because we talked about evil twin, because Crazy Dave was doing evil twin on the show, right?
That was last week, right?
Was that last week?
It might have been 2 weeks ago.
Or was it 2 weeks ago? Anyway, sometime in the past, Crazy Dave was drinking evil twin, and I said something about how I thought evil twin was from New Zealand, and Crazy Dave was like, no, this is from Denmark.
Yeah.
And so Malt Porter decided to jump in at that moment, wherever he was in the space-time continuum, to comment on Untapped about how evil twin and Mikkeller are connected.
I'm
which is
so
crazy
confused right now.
Thank you, Malt Porter.
Yeah, dude,
for aligning all of us in the universe of beer and internet.
And I'll thank him in sometime in the near future.
Probably Friday.
It's last call.
Wait.
Oh, okay.
I have a question for Malt Porter, and I may as well ask it now.
Uh-oh.
I'm wondering if he strives to, this was a conversation in the household, if he strives to drink beers while he listens to the show. Like, does he see what
I think he drinks beer the minute he wakes up.
Well, no, not any beer. Like, does he ever try to drink the same beer at the same, like, while he's listening to the show? It was a question that I thought. Like, maybe he was a little late listening to the Evil Twin show, and he was actually drinking the Evil Twin beer. I don't know. I just thought I'd ask the question.
Yeah.
You know? Who knows? I'm just saying.
I think that's actually a very cool way to experience the show. I've actually listened to the podcast again, like, when it comes out on Friday, and I'll listen to it and actually be drinking one of the beers that we actually had before to see if I can still kind of pick up the same things.
And
that's kind of a really kind of a cool way to experience the show.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So there you go, Malt Porter.
Thanks, Malt Porter.
Let us know.
What's your plan?
from speeding.
All right, everybody, last call.
This last call. This is where we do our pint ratings.
Pint rating.
Chris Dave with the whipped cream. What's up?
Oh, man. Dude, this...
Crazy Dave with the whipped cream.
The whipped cream worked.
Okay.
Bottom line, whipped cream with the vertical epic, the cool thing about it is that the sweetness that the whipped cream added to the beer, it made it great. To me, it was like having pumpkin pie in a drink. I mean, it sounds kind of gross, but it was good. I mean, I still even got some here right now. I'm going to take another sip. I just can't say how excellent that is. I don't know why no one else has thought of this before. Maybe they have, but if I went to Stone today, I'd be like, get me my damn 12-12-12 with a whipped cream on top, because it is that damn good. You know, they could sell it like that. They could totally do it. It's got flavors. It's got layers. It's got complexity. It's got... There's just so much goodness about this. And I'm not saying this because I'm the fanboy stuff. Because I'll be very critical. I would be very critical about a lot of their other beers. I still have yet to try the rest of the Vertical Epic series. I have not. I've tried the 999 and I think maybe the 10. I don't know. But I've only tried a couple of the beers. But, I mean, this is just absolutely phenomenal. This is probably one of the top three or four beers that I've ever had in my life.
Says the fanboy.
Dude, no, seriously. Even if you would have put this in a paper bag and Dave tried this beer, I would be like, this is fucking awesome. I mean, it's
nice.
It's good. It's fantastic. I am going to give this a 5.0 because it just blows it out the box.
5.0.
Yeah, it's a full 5-pointer.
Nice.
Wow.
I mean, damn. It is seriously an epic beer, and they could not have finished off this series with a better beer than this.
Cool.
I am definitely going to go to the store and probably scrap a whole case of this stuff and stockpile it.
All right.
Because I think it's worth it.
Says this Stone fanboy.
No. I mean, come on.
So, Dave. Did you like the beer?
I just like it was so well executed. I mean,
no, I actually didn't mean to restart you.
Yeah, see what you did. Well, let's jump right to your tasting fight
for the treat, Midnight Sun. It's unfair for me to drink these two beers back to back for a couple of reasons. One,
you're a Stone fanboy.
No. They're very similar in the style and the spices and the flavors. And unfortunately, what the treat has going for it is it does have complexity, it does have layers, it does have, you know, a lot of different flavors going on, and that's definitely good. And for what it is, it's decent. It just the execution just didn't really compare as much as what the Stone did. I definitely see why these other people gave it these ratings of, you know, four whatevers or, you know, I think it was a 95 that they had from the Beer Advocate. I think it's a well put together beer, but definitely not a 5-pinter. I would probably come this one probably about I would say a 4. It's a good solid showing, and it's executed, you know, decently, and it's, you know, had I not had the Vertical Epic, you know, I'd still give it a 4. You know, it's not incredible, but, you know, I still think it's a good beer. You know, it is very, you know, and to the theme, it's got the spices. It's got the, you know, the cinnamon, the cloves, and pumpkin, and chocolate. And the chocolate on this is really cool, by the way. I really like that part of it. That's probably the one thing that really stands out about it. More so than the pumpkin squashes. That's the one weird part about it. But yeah, so 4. Food pairings, I never really got around to it for that, so
we're not gonna let you get around to it now.
You missed your chance, buddy.
Whipped cream would not go with this beer, though. I'll tell you that right now. Whipped cream is not.
All right, for my pint ratings, I give the Vertical Epic from Stone, the 12-12-12. I give it a 4.5. Don't think that it's quite the perfect beer, but I really, really liked it, and it's definitely my favorite in the series now.
Not that I want to kind of extract the negative, but I actually do want to hear
what knocked it down.
What is it that didn't make it a fire for you? What did you want to see, or what would you want to take out to make it a fire?
I don't know exactly what it's missing that would give it that full five, but I guess it's
Did mention something about wanting to age this one in particular, yeah. which was
that's
the one
what
of the
I
ones
think
that
is missing about
aged.
A year. That's what's missing.
I was out of all of the Vertical Epics, I think that this one, their last one that they did, which probably should have been their first one that they did, I think that this one could probably age the best out of all the ones that I've had. Just speaking from experience, from having the 03 through the 12. And maybe because the 12 was so fresh and it stood out that much more. But it's just, with my whole mindset, when I think of aging a beer, usually the darker beers tend to age longer than the lighter beers, only because of tons of malt, higher ABV. You know, when you think of imperial stouts and porters and blah, 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 those kind of things, they tend to age longer.
But I thought the whole idea of the IPAs was that they made it more bitter, so they use a lot more hops, so they would survive.
Yeah, well, IPAs were designed to be to age and travel.
But that was, you know, before refrigeration.
Right.
Yes.
So I don't know exactly what it's missing, but maybe in a year from now we'll be able to. Maybe it'll be a 5-pint, maybe not. I don't know. But for now, I think it's not perfect, but still awesome.
Dude, it's a bomb.
And it is
beer.
Definitely my favorite of the series. So 4.5.
Cool.
The Widmer Brothers SXNW or South by Northwest. This one's pretty good. I like the fact that it's laid back and it's not over the top with all this crazy stuff, because it has a lot of crazy ingredients, but it tended to sit very well together.
Yeah. It's got some funky stuff in there, yeah. It was like green chili and pecan, so that's interesting mix.
So it's this like southern mix with the northwestern thing. It's kind of by the South by Northwest thing. Anyway, I'm going to go 3.5 on this one. I'm still not quite sure what would help with this one. Maybe a little bit more sweetness somehow might make it more interesting. But it still had good flavors and was still drinkable. And it wasn't over the top, crazy, weird, disgusting, can't drink this. You know, when you think of those things put in this into a beer, you think, oh, well, how's this going to work? But it worked. It was good. And Gina and I drank the whole thing, so 3.5.
It was good. It was missing an oomph.
Yeah.
Oops. Like, it wasn't a wow. You know, it was very good, and if you were paying attention to what you were tasting, the flavors were there. They went together very nicely, but as soon as you started talking or not paying fully attention, it just, those special flavors kind of fell aside a little bit, and this could be our, you know, wrecked palates, but it needed just a kick up, and then it would have gotten a higher rating, I think.
Yeah.
Did you weigh in on the 12-12-12 at all?
I didn't. I mean, I'm probably with Toby that it's not perfect yet. I think it's going to be even better. Interestingly enough, I do not disagree with Dave and his whipped cream, although I would put like an Eskimo bar in a shake with that stuff, and that would be awesome.
Yeah. Oh.
Well,
okay.
Eskimo actually makes a ice cream sandwich, which has that granola-iness, which I think lends itself really nicely to some of these bigger beers. But I think in a year it's just going to have that much more smooth.
So you buy it a few more bottles of this to hang on for a couple of years?
Yeah, we have some aging.
Nice. Yeah, I'm... Wow, have they barrel-aged a few of these?
That would be amazing. Yeah, some barrel aged stuff would be
especially
so good.
Thrown with in this, some interesting barrels too. Something kind of spicy and different barrel wise.
No,
you know?
I would think something sweet.
It's definitely the most impressive out of
like a rum barrel.
The vertical epics.
Ooh, rum barrels.
And that everything's one? Better in a bourbon Christ, barrel.
That would get frickin' 6 pints in my book. Rum barrels. You know what I'm talking. Arr.
They've never
continued. But was not the whipped
you
cream
you just got my
instant...
Portuguese blood boiling right there.
But seriously, guys, wasn't my instant whipped cream Perry just like...
If I would have had a whipped cream and I would have been able to try it, I'll try it though with the next bottle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude.
I'm a genius. We're not against the instant whipped cream pairing.
I'm a genius.
Yeah, I am. Mike, what about you? Total genius.
So, for me, the 12th of 12, you guys get me second guessing myself a bit.
What?
But I'll be honest, when I crack this beer open and I pour it in the glass and I put my nose in the glass, I thought, man, this is like just a nice, big, spicy, Christmassy beer. And it kind of had me right there. And then with the
it's
flavors...
It's definitely very Christmassy, yeah.
I was very pleasantly surprised in everything this beer had to offer. I'm going to give it a 5 because I just think that it was what I wanted it to be. You know, granted, if this was in the middle of the summer, I was trying this beer, I probably wouldn't give it a 5 just because of my attitude what? While drinking it. You know what I mean?
Right.
But because it's still cold as hell up here on the East Coast and it's still winter, it gets a 5 for me just because I just think it's a really, really good,
wait.
Spicy, rich, roasty beer. This, I really don't know how to kind of qualify this beer. Like, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say about it. The part of me wants to give it a 5, but I'm not going to give it a 5 just because I feel like it's missing the malt backbone. But I... On the other hand, I don't know how many hands I have. If it had a malt backbone, it might take away from the incredible blend of herbs and spices that are in this beer. As is with food, you know I mentioned the hush puppy thing. I think it would be good with some really white, very light, delicate fish. I think some Asian food, especially Thai, might be interesting, you know, with this beer, as long as it wasn't too spicy. I kind of want to give it a 5 just because it's so different and so palatable and so interesting. But I really think that beer just needs to have a malt backbone. I just think that it needs... But one thing I didn't mention about this beer in my tasting flight that I should have mentioned was this is an ancient it's an ancient recipe, essentially. It's like we're talking like 14th century. This is, you know, pre-Reinheitsgebot you know, brewing laws. So the hops are kind of non-existent in this beer. They didn't even, you know, they used other herbs and plant material to get their bitterness from. And you can tell in the herbs that they chose that that's what they were choosing to get some of the bitterness and some of the sweetness and whatnot. So
it's not a beer. There's no malt, there's no hops.
That's the thing, and that's kind of why I'm torn, because it's like, it's a beer, it's not a beer. It's, you know, it doesn't
well,
have enough malt backbone,
malt
but it's got the herbs, so... I'm really, really
essentials.
Conflicted about this. But I'm going to go with the Alstrom Brothers and give it a 5 pints. I'm going to give it the 100%.
Wow.
Just damn. Because...
I want to try this beer
so
badly.
It's
so
interesting,
badly.
And I think they really, really did exactly what they wanted to do when they brewed this. They actually achieved what they wanted to, and I get that. And this with food would be just a really interesting experience and something different for people. So,
yeah, it sounds like a very foodie beer.
So there you go.
Sweet.
Thanks, Mike. How about some shout-outs?
Oh, everybody, Mike wants you to go to Facebook and go to Denver Comic Con and look for his beer name, which is the
Joker's Wit.
Joker's Wit. Vote for it every day. You can vote once a day, so vote for it, and maybe they'll name a beer after him, after Joker's Wit.
And not only will they name a beer after me, but I'll get like a year's supply of beer, which is like 365 beers, and I get a bunch of like Breckenridge and Comic-Con swag. So help me out.
Yeah,
typically. And I'll tell you, man, even if Breckenridge Brewery's listening, you better listen up, because there will be a lot of Breckenridge beers on the show here on the Beer Coaster Podcast.
That's
I know this is a conflict of interest, and I'm probably really kind of messing up my integrity here, but I'm telling you.
Who said we had integrity? You swear, like Gina and Toby, you and Chris and everyone probably think Stone just pours beer down my throat every week or something. But
well, there's a distinct possibility.
Yeah. It's possible. So yeah, I just wanted to give a shout out for, you know, to Denver Comic Con, that they're actually brewing a beer for the con, and that was, I thought, pretty cool and very kind of a double geeky synergy going on there. Yeah. So that was kind of cool.
Geeks on geeks. Yep. Yeah.
Dude, is that a porn?
Geek on geek action.
Yeah. Of course, we want to give a shout out to Malt Porter. Thanks for the backwash.
Hell yeah.
Double backwash this week.
What up?
And at Denver Beer Guy on Twitter. It's been retweeting some stuff. I want to give a shout out to at Denver Beer Guy. Cheers.
Cool.
Hey,
and just a reminder to all our listeners, this is your show. We just drinking it.
Cheers.
Cheers.
BeerCoastersPodcast.com is the website. Don't forget to check us out on YouTube. At the Beer Coasters Podcast YouTube channel.
We're everywhere now.
Yeah.
We're
all over the place. We're taking over the world. Check us out next week with the baddest of the bad, the coolest of the cool Beer Coasters Podcast, third installment ever. If you don't know what it is, we're going to make you wait and see what it is.
It's going to be pretty badass, though.
Yeah. Badass.
So you definitely got to check in next week.
Peace some badass out, beers.
Bitch. Bitch.
Thank you for joining us in this issue of Beer Coasters Podcast with us next week. Here on Beer Coasters.
Well, I can guarantee you they don't say boom, I'm a Belgian bitch.
I get ale treatment once a week.
The variety of corn in the Coors Light is just unmistakably horny.
Ending broadcast.